Okay. This is the Vanguard Academy board meeting on Tuesday, December 4th, 2018. And we'll go ahead and start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, so we'll start with the roll call. This is Kent Johnson, board chair.
Darren Jenkins, board member.
Johnny Jenkins, school counselor.
Grace Mitchell, treasurer.
Scott Kingston, board member.
Stephanie Evans, minute taker.
Eric Freeman, board member.
Kim Mangum, board member.
David Kingston, vice chairman.
Kathleen Kingston, assistant director.
Suzanne Owen, director.
Okay, so we'll first open up for public comment, if there's any public comments from anybody? Doesn't look like it. We'll move on. We don't have the minutes right now, so maybe we'll, after we get those printed, we'll pass them out and let everyone have a chance to read them and approve them. So we'll move on to the next item on the agenda is the director's report. We'll turn over to Suzanne.
Wow. Sorry, I guess I'm unprepared for the director's report. I'll just defer to Kathleen for finance afterwards. We did get our management reporting submitted for October. We're working on open points for that. As part of the open points, we did request that we adjust the management reporting to be on a midterm term basis rather than a monthly basis so that it could better reflect data coming in from the school. And so I did put that proposal in, and I'm just kind of hoping that that gets approved. We did put our templates out to the teacher to report. Our next report will come in as it would have in December anyway, but I've asked them to loop back into that last week of November, which began the second half of this term. So then it would be data for the second half of second term that would be reported coming through in January. So we've got that one kind of working through. The report consists, or the management report packet consists of reports and summaries from each of our executive team, vice presidential level personnel. And they take the direct reports that they receive from their teachers. So operations will receive from department head. Department head has received from teachers. And we've called it tier one, tier two, tier three. So tier one, which would be like the teacher level, that's due the first couple of days after the month ends, the first couple of work days. And then the next level, tier two, would be your department heads, and their report is due to the operations manager after two additional work days. And then tier three, which would be the executive team, would turn their summaries into the directors after the next couple of days, and then we provide our summary two additional days after that to the governance committee. So that's the kind of pattern that it flows up to. I have also requested, along with reporting at the midterm term rate, that we increase that by one day, maybe even provide an incentive if they want to turn it in early within the first 2 days. And then, but the third day would be that due date, and then that would bring that up. And so it's nearly a month, you know, it's close to a month, because a term is usually 9 weeks, and so you take that in half, you got 4.5 weeks, which is pretty much a month, but it just kind of, the dates that we're reporting on would be specific to the terms rather than the month. So that's where we are there. This is our October packet. Our second book consists of the operations department heads and teacher packets. So that's the detail coming out of the classroom or from the teacher and the department heads. And then the first book is the executive team. And there were just too many to go into one book, and we thought this would be a way, maybe a little easier way to have you guys review it, and then we can also produce it in digital, because that's how it's produced, is digitally, and then we have them print up their reports and turn it in. So that's where we are. So you can get kind of an idea of how things are running. So everything from facilities to the operations to the curriculum to the college and career and counseling and so on and so forth. So that's what that's happening there. So I'm hoping that with my summary, my director's report, that it really comes directly from management reporting, that you're able to see that in advance of the board meeting so that I can just say, you know, here's what we've done this term. This is what it looks like. This is what the data looks like. And hopefully we get that to you in a way that you can read that and understand it quickly and efficiently to see how are we doing it here at Vanguard. How's your school doing? We did have to, on the calendar, we did have to take a snow day or an emergency day off. We came to a geyser of water one morning at about 6:30 in the morning, and it shut all of our water off on this entire street. So it did take them a while to get that taken care of. We did have to send the kids home or ask the kids that hadn't come to go ahead and wait. So that was determined that we would push that back to the last day of May, or not the last day, but the 17th of May. So Friday the 17th of May will be a school day, and we figured we would do service project day on that day. So that's the way that turned out, and we are very rapidly and fast and furiously working on a second semester schedule to try to get that taken care of so kids have schedules in hand before they leave for the winter break. Aside from that, if you have any questions or if there's any particular area that you're concerned with, then that would be great if you had any questions on those. I did want to mention too, on our bell schedule, as you know, we now start school at 8 o'clock instead of at 8:20 or 8:15. Actually, it's the 7:55 first bell, 8 o'clock tardy bell. I've just asked Bonnie to get me a report on what that looks like on tardies, because our beginning of the day tardies are pretty bad. And so, I mean, I don't know what else to do. We've got several college classes, some from SNO, some from our own adjunct professors, and they really need to get those classes started as soon as possible. I've heard all kinds of teachers' positive reports on our current schedule, because we are running one bell schedule for the high school, one bell schedule for the junior high. So junior high has classes that last about an hour, and their math, language, and science are all taught every day. High school classes run about 85 minutes, and those are every other day classes for pretty much everything. The physics is finishing this semester with an everyday schedule, but next semester we'll move to match the rest of the high school classes and being every other day. So we've just today gotten out there again to try to get updated requests from students for their electives so that we can get those final things hammered out and get the schedules taken care of. So,
A question on the MRP. I know the first one, we put it online in a PDF format. Did we do that with this one?
The whole packet?
I don't think we did.
Bonnie go through and scan it the first time, but I forgot about that. So,
I'm wondering, do we want to do the whole packet?
I wonder if we would do this packet
and not that one.
And not this one. This is the detail again coming out of the classroom. The summary should give us a pretty good view of what's in there. But maybe what we could do is digitally do this one and make it available for the board, and then have this one here in our office, that if you do want to come and review any of it, that it would be here and available for you.
Could we do, and in addition to that, could we add the operational summary?
It is in here.
Is it in this one?
Yes. Yeah. So the summary is in here. Operations summary is in here, but
it's part of the executive team.
Okay. Yeah, I think that sounds good.
Okay. So would that work for board if we just scan this and email it out like we did that first?
Okay. Yeah. And the emails, is that the link to the shared area that we have access to? Or is it the actual document?
It's a PDF that we actually just scan in so that it becomes a document. Mm-hmm. But I think, did we ever?
I thought she put it in the folder, so it's in the same place you would access it. But when you get the email, it takes you straight to
it. They were trying to set up a shared area for the board that we could all have. I think it was you?
Rebecca Lucas.
Rebecca was doing that. So that you can send the email the link to that shared area, and then you can see all of the MRPs last month, this month.
In progress.
Or last month or the month before, and so.
That requires a password, though, doesn't it, to get there?
It does. It's the same password to log into your email, I think, though. I think it's the Google password.
Google.
And so if you're logging in to get your email from Vanguard, it's the same authorization. I think.
It is.
Has anybody had a chance to try?
That would be nice to see it. I did it a long time ago.
I haven't recently.
Yeah. And so if we send it out, we could do that and in addition send the whole document if you didn't want to have to go to the trouble of logging in. It would be nice to have that.
Okay, so we'll send this in PDF, and then we'll make sure that, is it Rebecca then?
Rebecca.
So we'll have Rebecca email that link to you all so that you would have access to the digital live copies. Am I correct in saying that? So it's, they're active documents on the Google Drive.
Seems like logging in might be more secure rather than emailing it around to everybody.
Yeah, to log in might be actually better.
Okay, so.
It's public anyway, isn't it?
What's it?
Is it public data?
Some of it's not. We had some data in there that probably shouldn't.
There's some student information. So it probably would be better to be under the password of that.
Okay. So what I'll do is we'll get this scanned, and then I'll ask Rebecca to help me get where it needs to be so that it's a secure site.
And if anybody doesn't, does everyone have access to their email still? Login?
Yes.
And it's the same password, same username password to get into the shared area. And if we set it up properly, then if you have a problem getting to that, you can contact Rebecca or Joy or anybody.
So there's a shared open points too?
Mm-hmm. And I think we...
I did ask Bonnie to do that on just a sheet, but if we scan this in and it's available, then you would be able to see the open point sheet.
But the shared area should have those open points.
If you want to be able to give open
points
digitally.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I want to give digital open points.
Yes. We can.
So I don't want to haul that book around.
Yeah.
Or write up in red.
Little light reading.
I had some open points this time. I think I might have put it on the end of the last time.
Yes, we did see that, and I did have Bonnie type those up into that sheet that I had entered the others into, so it should be out there.
Okay, good. Okay, any more questions on that?
So are we going to adopt the quarterly? I think that I didn't look.
It looked
too
good.
Bad.
Yeah, it looked good to me. You still had an MRP every month.
Anyway.
Yeah.
And so
it's close.
So I think that's okay.
I think as long as we had the schedule, which I think we did, of when each department, every person had their MRP due.
And you were okay with those, the 3 days versus the two?
It's taken them that long. We're working on to help the teachers so that the goal is to have it be so that is them doing their job. Right now it's kind of a second job for some of the teachers. We're trying to help with that process, and Rebecca's been really trying to improve some of that. To get it to where that it really aids them in doing their job instead of being another task. But we are still dealing with some of that. There was a positive one on the facilities when Nancy Winters is over our student sweepers and cleaners. She came in the very last day. Her packet was already done because doing her packet does her job. So that was, when I saw that, I felt like was a really positive piece of it that has created that system for them, and we'll go through and keep refining it, but to do her job, she does.
I think as long as we're reviewing the performance data every week, you guys are, not us, then that quarterly is fine. Midterm.
Okay. And I would recommend everyone log in, look at the at least the summary sheet. The summary sheet is actually providing some valuable data now. And if there's information you feel like the board should receive that's not on the summary list that we should receive regularly, then you can enter an open point and send it in and say, this, I'd like to see this. It's getting to the point where it's helping and making a difference. So is that everything?
That's all I have.
So we'll go back to the minutes and the open points. If everyone wants to look at the minutes, we'll spend a few minutes on it. All in favor of approving the minutes from last board meeting, say yes.
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 All opposed, say no. So it's unanimous. The minutes have been approved from last meeting. We'll go on to the open points. The first open point is to come up with how we are going to include excellence in everything we do. So start off on a positive note. So How's everything going here? The Vanguard.
They have an awesome skirt day coming up.
Yeah.
And the way that Suzanne and Heidi have worked out those skirt days are really unifying for the school to where every kid is involved and recognized. I don't know if you want to see what your plans are. But
it's mostly Heidi. I can't really take a lot of credit for it, but I felt like that I wanted to bring Spirit Days back, but I didn't want it to be everybody wear your jeans and t-shirts just because they might have a little bit of this color in it. I wanted it to be that unifying idea to where we are working together for the same goal. A few little things that might be different, and we based it on holiday, so we had the Halloween kind of theme, but the staff were unified in playing a clue game and helping the kids to go around, and it got them talking to us as staff members, seeing us as people, and I think it went pretty well. So we've got the second one coming up in December, and we'll do the same kind of theme with the holiday and then kind of work our way through that. So it's helping, and then we have the vocabulary word of the day that's coming out, so we're trying to increase our skills in literacy, and that came down from Joy and Dorothy as they went to a literacy institute. So I think that, you know, between that and the unification with the Pledge of Allegiance in the morning and the students making the announcements, I've had several people saying they really appreciate and like hearing the students making those announcements in the morning, because again, it's getting everybody together.
One thing to add to that too is we've also started the awards, having the quarterly awards, and we have another one coming up, and there's been a little bit of question if we want to have it as a assembly where they sit down and the kids walk across the stage, or if you have it more of a party. Anyway, a little bit of discussion on that, but we've got one coming up. Yeah. Soon.
The honor roll social is what we're referring to. So for at the end of the term, the kids throw on the honor roll. How do we acknowledge that? What's the best way to do that? I wondered if maybe having that award being handed out every term might be a little, maybe take a little bit away from the end of the year awards assembly. I don't know. The main thing is we just want to acknowledge kids for their efforts and provide them. We do want to give them an award card. Didn't know that should be come in, have the parents come in and do a formal presentation of those awards, or if we just invite the students in to celebrate their success and give them some cookies and their award. And so if you have any suggestions, then that would be good.
Well, real quick on that, on the vision of the school, and I know we have a vision that we put into place, then how many of the teachers are aware of the vision and taking it to heart? And how many of the students know the vision and are aware of it and taking it to heart?
I think we probably wouldn't have a very high percentage of that could tell us what the vision is. They do know what our mission is, because that is one of the things that the student announcers include in the mornings. You know, we are Vanguard, we're tomorrow's leaders, so we have some of that going on. It's not the full mission statement necessarily, but it is, you know, unifying the students in that way. As far as the vision, I don't think that that's...
Is that something that would be helpful to post some on the wall, mm-hmm. professionally?
I think so.
In fact, even more than just posting it, you may want to start putting that into your staff meetings. One of the things we're doing in our organization is having a weekly meeting on Friday, and it's required to attend, and everyone who attends has, we've come up with the vision for our organization, and everybody is making sure that vision is communicated to the ones that they're responsible for, and they're actually repeating that vision and doing perspective adjustments with that vision, and it's changing behavior because we're doing that. I don't know if you guys understand what I mean by that.
So maybe give an example.
So in our last Friday's meeting, our director of IT, he said, because I am teaching that vision and doing my perspective adjustments, he said when people call and ask, he doesn't think, oh, I got to talk to that guy again to solve his problem. He thinks I'm making people's lives better and creating a better culinary experience. And the attitude is changing significantly. And what's happening is we're taking that vision and putting it into the people's character, into their hearts, so to speak. And it is actually changing behavior. There's some tools that we use that probably, I don't know if they would be an education environment. There's tools that we use that change people's perspective. But that vision is starting to creep into every part of the organization. And the organization's starting to function as one unit. So we need to, I can go over that in a governance committee if you want.
Yeah, well, that's really good. Okay, anything else? That makes sense. That's, I think that's a good recommendation. The next item is a follow-up with the teachers that haven't checked off any of the 180-day plans. Are we... Is that still open?
Yeah, we do still have some that aren't complete, but some of them probably they just aren't going to be complete by the end of the semester because we lost a staff member and they're just not going to happen.
And that's we've been.
Yeah, but the class has been adjustment. It's the outlier, not the. I mean, almost like the other ones are all in. So
what's the? Do we expect it? Anything else on that for?
We do have some still for second semester that we're working to get in right now, and we're having a training for like our concurrent enrollment professors that are teaching for the first time next semester, and we've scheduled a training for them to come in this Friday and work on those.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have some second semester only classes that are working on them still too.
So there will be an end date?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, for those there, yeah, their end date is different than the other ones just because they haven't started yet.
And so we probably should, that was Grace's, we probably should leave that open then.
Yeah.
Okay, the next item is incorporate the work release program so students can get credit.
That has not been completed. Catherine is just getting back from maternity leave, and she's got a plate clear for right now, so she hasn't gotten to that yet.
Okay, so we'll leave that open too. The next one is we want a procedure to follow for following the absence policy, and then we need to identify the person who will do it and the procedure to get it done, and that's, you can get ready to go by first.
So
Yeah, by the first quarter next year. So. We are doing that. Like I said, I did just ask Bonnie to get me a percentage of tardies, and I asked her to just go back from the beginning of the year and do it on a quarterly basis and include that in our next management report summary so that we can see what that's looking like. Also, I'm looking at some of the policies of the schools nearby to see what their policies are for tardies, because there's one of the schools nearby that has adjusted their start time as well. And when that happened, then our tardies increased. Because it seems that, you know, because there are feeder school, it seems that families still want to tend to drop off there first. Even though I've made it a point to make sure this building is open by 7:30 every morning. Usually between 7 and 7:15 is when I unlock the doors. And I've tried to make that very clear to parents that we are here. The doors are open. There's a safe place for them to be. They can bring them by. I've encouraged that they have that 7:45 goal to get here by 7:45. Still not happening with many families. So still working on that, but I think that if we can emulate some of their policies, because it seems that there's a more of an incentive to get the kids dropped off, the younger children dropped off first. And so we may have to have those same kinds of incentives put into place so that they understand. I mean, really, it's not very far away, and it's a matter of, you know, just because we got college classes running, and I opened the door and got a college class started this morning, and I had four kids show up to that class between 5 and 10 minutes late for a college class. Kind of concerning. And we have had Snow College professors, and I think I mentioned this in a different meeting, that one professor actually gave the incentive to our kids that they would get a certain percentage extra credit, or I can't remember what that incentive was, but if we could have every one of our kids there on time for the remainder of that semester. And it's kind of embarrassing that we have that many kids that are tardy on a consistent basis. And, you know, so we're working on that. We don't have it. We got the tardy procedure, and you guys approved that, the policy. We're working on the attendance one now.
So do we want to add that to our summaries? Or do we want to come up with a policy and see where we're at?
If you add it to the summary, we could probably close the point.
Okay. So if we, yeah, let's, so let's do that. Maybe make another point to, as soon as that's added to the summaries, we'll move it off here. So the next item is get a bid on the new exit in the assembly hall.
Didn't we close that one? Well, the bid I got wasn't really a bid for how much it would cost to do an exit, but as we were talking, it just depends on the type of exit that we determine that we need to have. I think it was determined that there should be one there. So I think it's just a matter of we'd have to go through the RFP process to get a bid on that, unless it is the responsibility of the building owner and it would increase our rent, I would assume. So I don't know what else to do on that one.
I guess the question is, do we need to move forward on it or not?
Do we find out if it is the responsibility of the lease owner or the building owner? Would that be the next step? Because if it's their responsibility, then would they be the ones getting the quote under our request, or how?
Probably ought to check in that. That's probably the...
That's going to be governed by your lease. If you have a copy of your lease, it wouldn't be hard to find out whose responsibility is.
Okay.
So... Should we check? Yeah, let's check the list and see.
Sounds like the right next step.
Okay.
Be done in 2 minutes.
Okay. Do you want to amend that and just say that they'll follow up on the lease to see whose responsibility it is? The next item is initiate a curriculum review packet for English and science.
Those are in process right now.
And they are.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
And I think that's on our summary, actually, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's okay to close that up.
Do we have an end date of when those will be done?
So we have progress on him, but we're working on him as fast as we can. But like I mentioned on the with the curriculum committee meeting, we focused on implementing the first thing that we found, and then we're getting that up and running while we're still looking for the additional pieces, because language arts has so many pieces. The science one's actually already, we're getting kids' names, and then that'll be in place. And that was for all, and that, yeah, that's for 100% of the science concepts for 7th and 8th grade. And that one should be in place by the end of next week.
So that one's completed then?
As soon as we have the kids' names all the way in there, then I would say yes. But we have selected it, yes. It has been selected, so.
And the packet, the curriculum packet, before you implement, had to be finished, right?
Yeah, we can have them to the next curriculum committee meeting in January. I think we can be done with language arts by then.
Okay.
The full range.
Okay, maybe we'll leave that open until we, where were we want to be with English? Okay, the next item is create a core standard checklist summary to ensure that all standards are being covered in the 188 plan.
That's one of the additions that we have to our packet for next year.
Is it? It's been added then?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's been moved from here to your...
Yes.
Okay, we can close out with Stephanie. Make the amendments to our charter.
The next two kind of go together, and the last one we didn't really assign it.
Okay, so we'll make amendments to our charter and make a proposed amendment to our charter for the new year 2020. And are we too late for 2020? Or are we thinking 2021 now?
If we're going to be doing any kind of extension or anything like that, we are too late.
Okay.
It was the end of October.
So do we know, we probably don't know if we want to do that or how.
I think it's a pretty big process. I think you would just make a decision whether you wanted to start the process, and the process might inform you whether you want to go that route. Because it is, as we mentioned before, it's going to require buy-in and a complete understanding of all board members, because every board member needs to be a part of that proposal,
right,
if it goes through.
I wonder, can we combine those two,
mm-hmm,
make it into one? And it's assigned to Scott.
Were you not here?
That's what. So, who would be the?
But what?
Do we want to?
Do we want to do a market analysis to see why we're changing the?
Yeah, we definitely need.
Yep.
Need to.
So should we just initiate a market analysis? And how much time is that going to take? And what resources is that going to take?
Who's our marketer?
He's our marketing expert.
We could change it from Scott to Kathleen if you want.
Yeah.
And combine it and then come up with that. We probably need a recommendation.
We need to see what the future market's going to be.
Yeah.
That's it.
So.
Okay. And I think we can tap into some of our resources from the feeder school and other things to try to look at that.
Okay. And
so is that on Kathleen?
Yeah, put it on Kathleen, combine the two, and then put the year as 2021.
I'm too nice to see.
We're not. We won't make 2020. So, okay, that's the last of the up points. And any questions? Any more up points we want to add? Okay. Let's go to the Finance Committee report.
I gave Grace a copy. They gave the published, and I don't remember if I forwarded it in the email, and I can if I didn't. They finalized the audit, so they sent us some printed finalized versions. They submit it to USBE, and then I've been training Erin Andrews to take the role of the business manager. And then I performed the review, so I trained him and had him upload to the state auditor site. So that has been done. So we have concluded our annual financial audit. And so this is available for review. And then we're still working on finalizing November's financial standings. The October is in the MRP. it's been nice to have the management reporting to create those cutoffs and been organizing the time. And so now with Aaron, I've been working on the process of making sure the procedure is there for the position so that no matter what person takes that position, those procedures and checklists will be there. But one question I did have, and it might be okay, there might not be a difference, or I wondered on the financial positioning, when we, if we modify the MRP packets to be matching with the school terms, I think the financial should still be okay, but it will be a little bit different cutoff than monthly. I just wondered how you would want to see it, if there was an overlap. Would I just put the most current month in there if you had any input that way?
I think if that's the way you look at it, I would just go the last
month.
Or what? Just monthly. Or whatever way you're looking at it, put it in the most current version.
So, anyway, then I won't worry about that unless there comes something really goofy. But
How about if we open it? Sorry.
No, you go ahead.
It kind of ties to what we're talking about. How about if we put an open point to have each board member go in and look at the summary for the money management reporting, and at that point you can look at the financial,
see if it matters,
finance, and see if that works for everybody, and if that's going to be a good way to distribute the information. So,
because when we get January will not, anyway, whether you want that January data send out anyway, whether there's an MRP or not,
yeah,
at that cutoff. Anyway.
And, yeah, and basically, if you send the link out, then you'll have a folder for each of the MRPs. And if it's in progress, you can see what's been completed at that point. If it's finished, then and maybe we can mark them. I don't know. But I think, so wouldn't you add an open point that each of the board members will go in and look at the summary page at least on the MRP and assign that to the whole board. Does that sound okay? And that'll cut down on some of the paper we have to print out. And actually, you could even pull it up if you have a device or bring a computer, you can pull it up in the meeting and look at it. So, or we can bring devices down and let people have access to it that way. So, okay, anything else? Any questions on the budget or the finance or any part? The next item is the governance committee. We've had a pretty strong focus on generating the MRP. And we've talked a little bit about that already. We're shifting over now to where they're going to start doing a lot of, I know Marie couldn't make it tonight, but we're shifting over to a lot of the benchmarks, the testing, so that we'll be able to see where we're tracking based on previous years. We put a lot of effort into adding new assessments too, in not just the core areas that are the SAGE or the RISE subjects, but also other subjects at Vanguard. And we're trying to implement strategies like the Alex Math for the math department, also for the English and language arts, and what tool?
Reading plus.
And I've heard a lot of really good feedback on Alex, and I'm hoping the Reading Plus will be the same.
So far, the students are really responding very positively. Students have expressed that they don't really care to read and so on and so forth, and then they come back after just doing the Reading Plus, and they spent an hour of that night before doing Reading Plus, and they said it's pretty fun. It's hopefully, you know, according to the spiel we got, then it's going to really address all the core concepts and initial data coming out of it. Our kids are reading well below grade level across the board.
Across the board.
Some of them are reading well above grade level, but we do have a lot of our students who are reading below grade level. So.
I wonder, yeah, if we could, are we trying to incorporate that in other classes besides English?
I've had a couple of history teachers ask me today, can I include that? Because they're having difficulty reading the history tests. So, as a, yeah, so, yeah, it should impact the other curricular areas as well.
Does it give feedback on the usage or the levels that they're,
yes,
that they're on?
Yep. It'll rate them, so it takes their comprehension and their level of speed and their vocabulary. It takes those three things and combines them into a proficiency index, and that tells you what grade level and what month. So it'll give like a 12.3, that's a 12th grader in the third month of their 12th grade year. It goes clear up to the college level. We haven't had any, we don't have any students who have beat the system yet, but we have one who's on 13.5, which is the fifth month of a college level.
Wow.
The 10th, is he 10th grade? He's a 10th grader. And so they said once they beat the system, they'll come and bring him a gift card and some treats and stuff, and to make a big deal out of an assembly and everything, just to, because they'll beat it. So.
And it's a 10th grader?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah,
seventh grader on a college.
Can we summarize that for the MRP?
Yeah, the reports coming out of this are awesome, and so
I think
we've got every kid finally taken the initial, and Marie's going to be including that in her summaries, and they will be there weekly.
I did have some parents express a little bit of a concern or frustration because they've been working with Alex Math, and they're able to see what they've done and how many modules or whatever it is they've done, and what their progress is. And it doesn't appear, this reading plus, so far the parent hasn't been able to, and I don't know if there is one. I did reach out to Dorothy as the department head to see if there is anything that the parent can see, because the parent said, I don't know if I can, if they have even done what they're expected to do, because they can't see what they've done and where they are on it. So
I think we need to do some parent training, just like we did with Alex,
yeah,
and the parents to understand. As they can see everything that the kids can see.
So, and that's the thing, we just need to make sure that they know how.
Yeah. It's pretty new, we started it right before Thanksgiving break.
It is a pilot program also, so they did it as a 6-month pilot program, will take us from now to the end of the year, so there's no financial expense this year. They are putting together a quote for us so that we can look at it and put it in the budget proposal for this, as we get to that point in the year. So that's one thing that's been really nice, is to be able to test it and pilot it. And the other thing they have offered is to siblings and any other
friends
children
and family
have access to it too. So if you have anybody in your family or
moms
somebody
and
that
dads.
Needs it.
Moms and dads.
I know some of the teachers
of the
have
teachers
done it. I haven't
done.
Tried it yet, but
board members?
We've got teachers.
Absolutely.
So board members, get on there.
The next board meeting,
you
can do some reading
plus.
Find out what your reading level is.
For sure. Give it a try and get some access.
When you get the performance text on that, are the sample size just Vanguard, or are they sample size all Alex users?
It's for all. So it doesn't compare them against their peers at all. It's their proficiency index.
So it says they're in the top 10. Does that mean that?
Oh, and if we say top 10, it's top 10 of Vanguard.
So I think that if we could all log on to look at the MRP report and give feedback, then that would and maybe would you mind sending the email link out?
Do you want me to ask Rebecca too?
Yeah, ask Rebecca. She'll do that.
I have it in my notes.
Okay. Yeah.
Too.
So let's that way you'll have a fresh link. You can log in, and it should take you right to the packet. Okay, there's any questions on governance? Any? We'll go to the next item, is the Academic Assessment Committee report. And Joy, do you want to start?
Yeah, so we have some just really exciting things to that are happening with the curriculum side. So we've got our Alex. One thing that's happened differently this year, I haven't been teaching as many classes, and so I've been able to take the time to give our teachers the support that they need. And so one of the things that's on my weekly checklist is on Monday mornings, I get into Alex and I look at the usage for the whole school, and I sort the entire report identified kids who didn't make it, and then I send out a summary to teachers with an email, and it goes out to Kathleen and Suzanne and everybody who's involved with that, so that they can see the usage for every teacher, how many kids got their usage, how many didn't, what the percentage that was, and how many kids didn't log in at all. And then it comes with action items that asks them to, you know, contact parents or whatever is needed based upon the data. So that's been happening every single week, and our usage this week was, I don't know if you saw the email.
I did see
it. It's just been climbing, and I've had some of the math teachers tell me that they really appreciate the weekly follow-up that I've been doing. And what I do, beyond sending the email, then I go into classes and I talk to the teachers, especially the ones that are low, and we help them to, some of them we had to had perspective adjustment as to, yes, you do want your kids to perform well on that, because otherwise you're going to be spending hours and hours on the weekend trying to give individual lessons to all, make individual lessons, and there's not enough time. And so we have our teachers, their usage is increasing quite a bit, and it's become a routine and a habit, and that follow-up process has been possible because I have the time to do it this year, and it's been nice. And then we just barely implemented Reading Plus as we've been doing our textbook selection for language arts. It is different, and it's really actually opened up our eyes, as myself and Marie have been digging into this and going through the process with the teachers. We definitely have validated some of the things that our language arts teachers have been trying to tell us for the last couple of years, which is our kids are low on vocabulary, they need to work on vocabulary, and that their comprehension is low, that they're reading at a lower level. So when we got the Reading Plus, we actually did two things at the same time. We did the first language arts benchmark, which is on the same items as Reading Plus, and it was nice to have that done. That happened the week before we implemented Reading Plus. So we got our benchmark data, showed us the kids are really low in reading comprehension. We got this Reading Plus program, and kids took the initial assessment in that, and it showed us exactly the same as the benchmark. So we're confident that our program is going to address the RISE benchmark that we have. So the plan that we created, myself and Maria and the language arts teachers all together created our plan. We said we're going to do benchmark, Reading Plus, we're going to use Reading Plus and do other instructional lessons for 3 weeks, and then take the benchmark again and look at our Reading Plus data and see, is what we're doing working? Evaluate at that point. If we have seen significant progress, we're gonna keep pushing really hard on that. And we have decided that if we can get our kids up to mastery, I mean, because that the being able to read and comprehend affects everything else. If we can get them up, caught up, some of them are 3-4 years behind, that alone would be better than trying to implement 5 different new programs for all the 5 different areas of language arts. Because there's 5 different strands of those. So we're going to push really hard to get the kids caught up in the reading and the vocabulary and the comprehension. And then from there, as soon as we feel like we're solid with that, then we're going to move on to the other areas. It'd be better to get them completely caught up in one. So we're really excited with Reading Plus. Like Suzanne has said, the kids are excited. Even ones that were initially non-excited. Our 7th and 8th grade teachers have been using it in the classroom. Dedicated time to get the requirements met in the classroom. Our high school teachers were still trying to figure out how to incorporate it in a way that works for everyone. But it is something where the kids go at their own pace, and they choose their reading selections, and there's lots of different interest areas that they can choose from. But one thing that the program does is if a kid's really into sports, and they go in and they choose a sports story every single time, there's still 8 different areas in sports that they're going to learn about. They're going to learn about the history of sports. They're going to learn about the science of sports. They're going to learn about there's 8 different areas. I have to get in to look at all of them, but they're going to get a broad variety, a well-rounded a background, even if they're reading the stuff that they're interested in, which is sports or science or whatever it is. So there's a lot of potential with that program. We are on a where they gave us a free trial for the rest of the year, and the cost for this is very low when we got the amount. So we had IQ for last year, and some of the kids, then the teachers introduced it, like, you're not giving us IQ again, are you? And so the teachers told us that too. They were kind of resistant at first. They didn't want another program thrown at them, they said, but they have said they liked it. We got them over the initial hump, and it took myself and Marie coming into the classes and giving them the support. As we came in, they would say, we need this to be able to implement. We were able to give it to them right away, and so we got all the kids tested the week before and the week after Thanksgiving, or the week of and the week after Thanksgiving break, and we've provided a lot of support to the teachers. But our 3rd curriculum, one that we have for science, is new, also a free trial for the end of the year. through the end of the year. It's called Smart NGSS, and it's 100% aligned to the new NGSS standards for 7th and 8th. And we are getting our science teachers set up on that. We even reached out to some 6th graders from our feeder school, and they're going to be piloting that with one 6th grade class, because it's a 6th, 7th, and 8th grade program. So the exciting piece of this, Marie and I are attending, or Suzanne has sent us to a blended and digital learning. As we look at the vision that's been set by our board to have that individualized learning plan and what's best for every kid, a teacher that's teaching 200 kids, for them on their own to create individualized curriculum for 200 kids, assess them on it, and reassess is nearly impossible. And when we can get our teacher a tool, that's kind of like with Ms. Thomas, with this tool, she's just jumped in both feet and just really soared with the tool, whereas on her own trying to create that the lessons for the kids and assess and reassess and find time to reteach the kids was very challenging. But the tool has really allowed the teacher to take flight, and she's very excited. She's our biggest supporter of Reading Plus. So I'm really excited about where we're going with the textbook selection process, and we appreciate the process that we have with that and being able to really find the very best curriculum. So that's where we're at on that. So well, I guess I did want to mention, I have been into classrooms to see, you know, just quickly, are teachers following 180-day plans? And almost everybody was. Anybody who wasn't has been addressed, and just kind of followed up with them to see what help they needed. And one of them was language arts, and we were able to fix that with some of the Reading Plus. It was very, very helpful. So, yeah.
Okay, any questions? Anything else? Okay, Johnny.
I just want to add to that with joy. Marie showed me some of those reports, and I looked at it with some of my own children, and it didn't take long for me to be impressed with the program. It's pretty exciting. I'm glad their kids are doing it.
Do we know how many other schools have implemented that?
Yeah, he listed out quite a few. There's a lot of districts who are using it district-wide, at the high school level. So there was quite a few. We asked, part of the process is to ask for references so we can talk to other schools who are using it, and there were quite a few who were. So.
Anyway, concurrent enrollment, Snow College registration is open. Most of the classes were, I shouldn't say most, but a good chunk of the classes are full. Biology is one of them, and that's one that just about every 11th grader that's taking college classes planned on taking. Salt Lake Community College does have another life science credit for the Health 1020 that some students could choose to take. There's been a little bit of discussion whether or not it'll count as biology or a health credit. Anyway, we're still looking into that a little further. But with that being said, that's only available for students graduating from Salt Lake Community College. But we also have criminal justice that we just found out from Salt Lake Community College. We had actually asked them when we started offering criminal justice 1010 through Snow College. They said it would meet their diversity requirement. Now they're coming back, students are ready to graduate, and they said, no, that's never been allowed. So every student that's taken the criminal justice as their diversity requirement is not going to be able to get diversity credit for that.
Do we know who gave that approval from the community college?
It was the office that is now telling me no.
Did we have any written approval?
I didn't get it in writing, no. That was the problem. And if you look at the records, or all their paperwork, if you have criminal justice, and it says criminal justice is the same class, but it doesn't count the same. But then you look at another, Math 1050, you have Math 1050 at one college, Math 1050 there at the other college, it looks exactly the same as a criminal justice, however one counts and the other one doesn't. They says the thing that they said is if Snow College's transcripts say diversity, then it would count as diversity, but because it doesn't, it doesn't meet that requirement.
When they come over with the Gen Ed certificate from Snow College, to the
if they get the complete certificate, it
then
does.
It still transfers.
But the Physics 1010 class, which the students are taking criminal justice and Physics 1010 at the same time right now, a lot of the students are, that Physics 1010 doesn't have a lab because it's offered through Salt Lake Community College. Snow requires a lab. Heidi's doing a little bit of research in there to see if Snow College will accept it without the lab. We still don't have a final answer on that one.
I thought that with the physics class, we had him teaching more hours.
He is, but that still doesn't, but the does course itself
the
is not included in the lab. It
like
qualifies as a high school
physics
lab,
10-15.
But not as the college lab.
Hmm. And so we now have students that are taking some Salt Lake Community College requirements, some snow, and then they're just not matching because they didn't transfer.
One thing, I did meet with the advisor over at Salt Lake Community College, and that's they've had a turnover in some of their personnel, and I think that's where this diversity confusion has arisen. But I talked with some of the advising staff over there, and he was the head of advising, and he, you know, when I brought up the criminal justice, his immediate reaction was, nope, we won't accept it. And I said, but it's been accepted in the past. And he said that the Salt Lake Community College Criminal Justice 1010 will, if they take it through Salt Lake Community College, it will count as diversity because they have added portions of their curriculum in there that are considered diversity curriculum. And so they will accept their Criminal Justice 1010, but no one else's, because no one else has modified their curriculum to include the diversity portion. That was his explanation to me. I met with the lady last year on my own son to see, you know, to look at that progress and to give his, she herself listed Criminal Justice 1010 as the diversity credit on his worksheet. Even though it was from snow. And that was last year. And then this year I met with her to finalize that, or met with a different one, the one that they've now got in place. And she says it's incorrectly done. She took it off of his plan that had been created by the other counselor and said it cannot count as that diversity. So that's what they're doing.
Anyway, so we're looking at individual students to see, you know, which college you want to do, and some are really stuck in the middle, including some of our seniors that are ready to graduate right now. So that's a little bit tricky there.
The problem is always mixing when you do some snow and some community college. If you do one of all, just one thing.
Well, and SLIC has also changed their requirements, but I did ask about that too, because you're aware, we brought it up before, that the Business 1210 or the Finance 1050 on the Salt Lake Community College side will no longer count as part of that Gen Ed certificate. It's no longer a part of it, but they have added a different one, which the Geography 1300 now is included in that. And so, I mean, they just make changes to their expectations, but those changes, they are considered based upon their what did they call it? Their something year.
Catalog
their year, yeah. Thank you. So the year they start taking a college class, a concurrent enrollment class, that's their catalog year, and whatever the requirements were in place at that point in time, that's the ones that are held to as they calculate those. So
moving forward on that criminal justice thing, has anyone approached Snow to see if they will add whatever diversity they need? Salt Lake Community College.
We haven't approached them with that thing, but that's probably a good idea to say, well, can you add the diversity component, whether they will or won't. I mean, it doesn't hurt to ask for sure.
Snow College doesn't require a diversity, which is why they don't. So it would be a whole new curriculum addition, which we could request it, but I don't know.
Probably not the only school seeing that issue, I'm guessing.
I went and talked to the advisor. When I first called them, they said they told me this is, we have never heard this from any other school. And since we made that phone call, I guess it's all coming out this year.
Mm-hmm.
I went and talked to one of the advisors, and they said that there's a couple of the other high schools that are doing Snow and Salt Lake Community College that are also having the same issues. And so they are looking at it, kind of trying to decide what to do. Anyway, we actually even had one of our graduates go in, and on her transcript or on her records that they showed that they waived it and they gave her the diversity credit, but I hate to pull that out and have them take it away from her, you know. So it's
sometimes if you have some of those kids that are not allowed to graduate because of that, go over to this Salt Lake Community College, that makes it bigger. Like the poor little students that can't graduate now because they don't have the requirements might have a little more impact with them.
And Heidi tried that one.
Did she? Did it work?
Because they might have to go through snow, and we really don't want them to have to do that. And just, you know.
Seems like it's to their advantage if they allow it to.
At least accept those that have already gone through it. You know, I understand not taking new ones, but
right.
Anyway, that's something that, And one of the other things is Biology 1050 is the human biology. It's the class that we've offered through Snow College. Most semesters it's full. Most of our students aren't able to get into it. And so we are looking, at least for in the concurrent enrollment side, we're looking for something for our students to take in the biology area. It would be nice to be able to have a class offered here for the concurrent enrollment biology. Next area is the GPS plans. Most students have, we've been going into all the leadership classes for the high school students. Most students have been working on those, been completing them and sending them in. We have not reviewed them yet. The next step is to kind of have them finalize it and then start meeting with me for their CCRP meetings, their college and career readiness meetings, and with their parents to finalize their plans. Scheduling, we're nearly complete with the second semester scheduling. And one of the things that we've been working on with our scheduling right now is looking at graduation requirements, looking at kind of the details and making sure that we have everything lined up. So when we're ready to start next year's scheduling, it's going to run much smoother. However, one of the things that I am requesting and would like to see is to if I could have someone help me to figure out how to put our GPS plans into PowerSchool. Right now we don't have anyone with that knowledge that has the time to go through and that process and make sure that it happens. But if we were able to put that in our PowerSchool, the GPS plans in the PowerSchool, it would help us with our scheduling, reporting, and just in many areas it would cut a lot of hours out of our entire scheduling committee and our at the college.
Would you have to do it if they had time?
Colin Mattingly said he would know how to do it. Rebecca Lucas is over PowerSchool, but she's also over management and reporting, and she just doesn't have time to even look at it. But I know Colin could do it, but we just assigned him to more classes, and he's now working full time.
So it's programming?
It's programming. And so, you know, anyone in programming that can do it, but the tricky part is they would also have to tie to PowerSchool, so it'd have to be someone that we can feel comfortable with entering into PowerSchool and making sure that they are trained on the PowerSchool side of things as well, which Rebecca has been, but she doesn't have the time to look at it either.
Do you have a design of what that would look like?
I do.
That might be more valuable than having to teach classes.
That was my thought. In fact, we kept adding more classes.
Unless he's got classes that are required. They're
really good classes, and it's nice having him teach it. He's an amazing teacher.
Can you send that design to the board?
Yeah, I can get it ready for you. But anyway, I just know that even the reporting, you know, someone, Suzanne, or anyone asks for, you know, can I get this information? And I'm just like, well, it's on individual spreadsheets, but
the book off my shelf.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, tally marks.
And so it would really save, and in fact, if I were able to do that, scheduling wouldn't be a year-long process. I would be able to spend my time meeting with students and being a counselor. So,
if you send that right away, then I'll take a look at that.
Okay. And I think that's it, unless anyone has any questions.
I don't have a question, but I forgot to mention that we are on track for our STEM designation. Just so everyone's aware, we've been having several faculty meetings and a lot of faculty participation. Mm-hmm. Our application has been faculty created largely, so I created the organizational structure. It's been really a nice thing to see how our faculty has contributed to that, and so we do anticipate achieving a silver STEM designation this year and then working towards the higher STEM designation in the future. And then our curriculum committee meetings, I was going to mention, it's been valuable to hear from our department heads and our teachers. They've been super uber flexible this year, but they are asking that there's some things that can stick and stay for our next year, because we're already anticipating planning for next year. We're going to roll out the new curriculum preparation packets, and I know we have our bell schedule is the final, and it's not going to change, and so we're solid on our bell schedule being the same, but they have just mentioned some of the things that have been challenging for them this year that they would like to have stick and be set before next year and stay same the whole year as our block and modified.
Well.
and not having the courses change around, but things like our grading system. So we've changed grade, you know, we've changed this, there was a lot of changes this year. They just want to, we're using PowerSchool. They want to be confident that they can put their stuff in PowerSchool and that they're not going to have to learn a new system next year. They're asking if we can just use Mastery Connect and not change whatever Mastery using system we're using. Also, we moved to Canvas this year. Canvas is definitely better, but they don't want to put their stuff in Canvas and move again. So they're asking if we can just keep it in Canvas. And they want to have the confidence as they're preparing their curriculum, which we've got an awesome plan for creating it in the last 2 weeks of May. Suzanne and Kathleen have some really neat training set up that week, and then they're going to give the teachers time to work on it. But they want to have the confidence that when they're creating their curriculum for next year, that they're not going to have to, a week or two before school starts, now change and use a different grading system or a different platform. They want it to just stick. And we've got some really good processes right now, but those are the concerns that they're bringing in the meeting where we have all department heads together. They say that trust is a little bit wavy right now, and that they would like to be able to have those things stay the same for next year. And then I just wanted to mention one other thing on Alex. They started a new beta for chemistry. So our chemistry classes have Alex as a free trial as well. And because our usage was so great the first month of the school year, I called up the STEM Action Center and said, hey, do you have other schools who aren't using their licenses that could give them to Vanguard? They more than doubled the number of licenses they gave us. So we have over $4,000 worth of licenses. And plus Suzanne helped purchase the ones for the rest of the school, so right, pretty much every kid has that, but we got most of them from that grant that we wrote. So anyway, those were a few things I forgot to mention.
Okay, any questions? The last item on the agenda is to adopt the charter agreement. I don't know if it's necessarily a vote, but we could look at it. I think we need to sign it. Does everybody on the board need to sign it?
I believe so.
But I think everyone, has everyone had a chance to look at that? I think we've gone over it several times. And so.
And I did send it to you probably a good month ago, and then resend it to you as well. It's the shortened version of our charter. So if you guys are adopting that, I mean, it's gone through the charter board. They took it up to the USVE. It's been now approved, come back to us for board, adoption and signatures. And then once that's done, we send it back up there, and it becomes our, it replaces the 200-page charter.
And so, do we want to...
Is there a deadline involved for getting it back then?
Nope, it just says once it's adopted, and then we'll send it up.
Okay. Should we pass it around and give everyone a chance that wants to look at it tonight, or do you want to... Is anyone...
It's legal, read it.
Did we see it in the last meeting? It was the last time we saw it as a board.
You saw it in the last meeting, and then, like I said, I emailed it out to all the board, and I think you saw it even before that. There were a couple of modifications that were made on the numbers. We wanted to make sure that our percentage of proficiency, or the numbers we were looking at as far as the student achievement, was at or above the state. We didn't want to go below the state on any of those numbers. So that was adjusted to make sure that we're rising above that level.
Okay. I wonder if we ought to, since this is the one we're going to sign, we've probably seen it, we've gone through it, we probably need to at least read it before, or review it before we sign it.
I agree, I think we need a refresher on it. It's been a couple months.
So
nice thing about it, it's not a 200-page document for you to read.
So.
And I will say, you know, as far as there being a deadline on it, no, there's not. As far as if we're going to make any kind of amendments as we look at the open point, if we're going to be amending our charter and doing any kind of extensions, whatever plan is in place, that's the one we have to work through. So we want to, anyway, the advice from the charter board was get this adopted before you do any kind of amendment requests. Because then you're amending what's in that document instead of the other one.
Okay. So why don't we, well, I think this has been emailed to everyone. I think everyone's seen it. Should we?
And I don't think that it has to have a signature tonight. I really don't. I'm not trying to push that at all. There's not a deadline on it. And I think we're into next October before we have to have it in place to do an amendment anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So
this is our last board meeting for 2018, I think. And so should we set a goal by January's board meeting? If you're not comfortable with the document, then let us know before that, or we can sign it at that board meeting.
That sounds good. Maybe just an email reminder that it's due a couple weeks before.
And
do you want me to send that reminder, or do you want?
Yeah, do you want? Go ahead. I think that's good. And then anybody who wants to read this tonight can go through it.
This is the final
mm-hmm.
changes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This is the yes. We sent it to the State Charter Board, and it was in draft mode. And then they sent it to the USBE school board, and they approved it, and now they've sent it back to us in final format for adoption by our board.
Okay, that's the last item on the agenda. Unless there's any questions, anything else we need to...
And if you're wondering, and if you're looking in your email, they've entitled it Exhibit A. So that's what it shows as. So.
Okay.
All right, I think that's it for the board meeting. I motion to close.
I second.
All in favor of closing the board meeting, say yes.
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 All opposed, say no. Okay. Board meeting is closed.